Grace, mercy, and peace to you on this Transfiguration Sunday from Him who shines in glory up on the Mount, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. We go to Mark chapter 9. And there we hear these things. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. Thus far, our text. It takes a while sometimes for us to get things. It takes a while for us sometimes to get the light bulb to turn on so that we really understand. As we go through the Gospel of Mark, we see that happening, dear friends. For what do you see in the Gospel of Mark as we take the journey through Mark? We almost hear Mark saying to us, "Do you get it? Do you get it?" Mark chapter 1. This Jesus fella, he casts out a demon, has power over the darkness. Do you get it? Mark chapter 2, dear friends, this Jesus fella, he heals a paralytic who can't walk. In Mark chapter 3, this Jesus fella, he heals a withered hand that was useless from birth, now comes to life. Do you get it? Mark chapter 4. This Jesus fellow, dear friends, what's he doing? He is calming a storm. Even nature obeys him as eyes get big and they wonder, do you get it? Who is this? And it continues on from there. In Mark chapter 5, what is taking place? In Mark chapter 5, a little girl who was dead is raised from death to life before all. Do you get it, people of Israel? Mark chapter 6, this Jesus fella, he's walking on the water. Mark chapter 7, he's exorcising a demon, kicking him out. Mark chapter 8, he's feeding over 5,000 people with just a little bit of food. You see what Mark is doing in this journey? Chapter after chapter after chapter. Dear friends, do you see what Mark is doing in his journey? He's screaming to the world, do you get it? Do you understand who is with you now? Do you understand who is before you and among you? Do you get it? Oh, Israel, do you get it? Who has come to be among you? Do you get it, shoppers at the malls? Do you get it, worshipers in the stadiums? Do you get it? Do you get it? Who this is? Before you, this body healer, this storm calmer, this Satan slayer, this grave crusher. Do you understand who has come to be among you? Do you get it, world? But you see, these are all epiphanies, dear friends. These are all epiphanies that Mark is holding up before us, chapter after chapter after chapter, screaming to the world, do you understand? Have the lights come on, who has come to be among you? They're all epiphanies. And epiphanies reveal God's salvation. They reveal Jesus. And they ask you, who is this? Who is he, dear friends? Indeed, he is the great I am. Oh, surely not, not in this man. Yes, indeed. He is the great I am. He is the God of Moses who stood on Mount Sinai receiving the law. He is the God of Elijah on Mount Carmel slaying the prophets of Baal. He's the God of Moses. He is the God of Elijah. He is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He is the God who in the beginning said, let there be, and there was. He is the God who fashioned stars and put planets in their place, who fashioned orbits and caused the sun to arise. He is the very same one. He is the great I am, cloaked in human flesh and blood to be among you. And he has come to free you from your prison. He's come to free you from death, from hell, from sin and Satan. He has come to free you from your bondage. And friends, yes, it was neat. There were some people who understood. There were some people who got it, who were in tune, whose lights came on by the power of the Spirit. John the Baptist was one of them, thundering on the banks of the Jordan, the beginning of Epiphany. As he was working all at once, he appeared, and John points and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," as all heads turned to look at Jesus. Indeed, he got it. He understood it. And then there was Peter, in a moment of great and stirring faith, that spirit burning within his heart. "But who do you say I am?" "Yes, indeed, you are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter got it, dear friends. He got it. And then there was Martha, right? The most amazing moment of her life, filled with sadness, filled with tears, to hear Jesus cry out, "Lazarus, come forth." What a moment that he walks out of the grave. "We know who you are. You are the Holy One of God who has come to be among us." Martha said, in great confession, yes, there were moments, dear friends, when the people got it. When they put all the pieces together, when they saw all the miracles, when they saw all the signs and realized this is what the prophets were talking about. This is the one who Moses and Elijah were declaring. He's the one. They got it. They got it. But then there was the other reaction, right? There were those moments where they didn't get it. Jesus doing all these miracles, performing all these signs, and what do? They pick up stones to stone him. Are you kidding? All these signs and miracles, all these fulfillments of the law and the prophets, and you're going to throw rocks at him? Oh, how dense we can be. And yes, Peter had his moment too. "I swear to you, I don't know the man." Oh, Peter, what happened? And yes, Thomas said it too. "Unless I see those wounds, put my fingers into them, I will never, never believe." Oh, what happened? Yes, there were moments that they didn't get it. And there are moments we don't either. And our pew is empty, because something else has shined in our lights. You see, dear friends, that's why it happened. That's why it happened. That's why Jesus took the three of his prominent disciples up on this high mountain. That's why he took them up on that high mountain. For up on that high mountain, he wanted to show them something that they had never seen before. He wanted them to see something that they had never beheld with their eyes before. He wanted them to be stunned at who he really was. And so he transfigures himself before them all. And they behold amazing things. They behold something they had never seen. And it's hard to look. And it's a bit frightening. And it's a bit overwhelming. What are they seeing, dear friends? You see what's happening right there in front of their eyes? In this moment, Jesus, he is stepping for a moment out of his state of humiliation, where the glory is cloaked and concealed. And he's stepping into the state of exaltation. He's showing them in this instant who he really is. And who is he? He's the Lord of Lords. He's the God of the angels. He's the King of the heavenly hosts, of the armies of heaven. He is the Lord of all, the King of all. The Lord who lives and reigns above all things, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, standing right in front of you. And they beheld him in his glory as he showed them who he really is. And they were in awe. They were in awe. Didn't even know even how to react. Beholding Jesus in his utter glory. You see what happened? He just gave them the greatest of the epiphanies. He just gave them the greatest of all the epiphanies. And so, like a crescendo, Mark is building through his book until he gets to chapter 9, and all of a sudden Jesus explodes with his glory before their eyes. I am the great I am. And they're trembling. And oh yes, dear friends, they needed to see it, you see? They needed to see it. Because something incredible was about to happen. They were about to go down the mountain. Not to some resort. Not on some wonderful vacation. They were about to go down the mountain to make their final journey into Jerusalem, the city of Jesus' destiny. The city spoken of by the law of the prophets. They were about to go to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, somebody would be waiting for Jesus. Satan would be waiting for him for the last and greatest showdown. And it's there in Jerusalem that Satan would strike his heel. He would raise up violent men, raising up violent crowds filled with lies. And he would strike his heel. And Jesus would be placed on a cross. A different kind of glory than the one we saw on the mountain. And yes, it would shake them up. It would shake their faith. It would stir their hearts and drive them to their knees. What's happening? What's happening? This chaos. Everything's crumbling. Oh, but don't forget what you saw. Don't forget what you saw, Peter. And don't forget what you saw, James and John. Don't forget what you saw. The Lord in his glory. He's going to overcome. He's going to overcome the nails and the whips and the spears. Because he is the Lord of glory. Do you get it? Peter and James and John, it's all a part of a plan. That's why Moses and Elijah were there. It's all a part of the plan. Jesus is the one who has come to fulfill the words of Moses up on Mount Sinai and elsewhere. He is the one who came to fulfill the words of Elisha and all the prophets. He is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, and it's all a part of God's plan. What you see unfolding before you, Peter and James and John, is all a part of a divine plan for the salvation of the world. So do not be afraid. The one whom you saw die will rise again because he is the great I am. And because of what he has done, you will shine in glory as well. For he gives them a foretaste of glory. The glory that is to come for them all. So do not be afraid, Peter and James and John. It's the great I am dying. And so, yes, Jesus, dear friends. What does he do? He shows them his deity. He gives them a glimpse of his deity, his utter deity. And he shines in glory. And they're so shaken that they don't really know what to make of that. Let's build some tents. Let's stay up here for a while. Oh no, you can't do that. You can't stop the plans of God. You can't put down tent stakes. We have to keep going. They didn't quite get it, but they would. As it all unfolded, it wouldn't be long before they understood all that the law and the prophets had spoken of. It wouldn't be long by the power of the Holy Spirit that they got it, that they saw the entire mission of Jesus from beginning to end, and it all made sense. It wouldn't be long before they would go out to the world and proclaim that entire plan and proclaim that entire mission for the salvation of all, to the point where John himself proclaims to everyone, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth." Yes, what a journey they went on. From being bewildered to finally getting it all, to finally understanding it all, and to proclaiming it all. And that's the journey of every Christian as well. Going from the babe in the faith who barely understands, who doesn't always get it, who says, "What does that Bible verse mean? I don't even know." To that Christian who towers in faith, who understands by the power of the Holy Spirit, whose lights came on, who now has comprehension and is able to tell and is able to show forth. What a journey God takes us on as well. Do you get it? Who this Jesus is? Yes, I do. He's the great I Am who has come to save us all. What a blessing to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to arise. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds forever in Him who lives and reigns, our Savior Jesus. Amen.